Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue stayed aggressive in the second half, building on a halftime lead rather than squandering it and beating Vanderbilt in its home opener. Now TCU is up next in a primetime game at Ross State on Saturday. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Dienhardt here, Brian Newbert as well. Let's jump into it with Tom right away. Talk Purdue's victory, 42-24 over Vanderbilt after the loss to Nevada. Jeff Brohm, Tom, said that he wanted to stay aggressive. It was the way Purdue was going to have to play to win football games. And what do you know? It's what Purdue did on Saturday, and it delivered a victory against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, you have nothing to lose, right, if you're Purdue. Just come out, you know, guns a-blazing and keep your foot on the gas, so to speak. And that's exactly what Purdue did, Kyle. You talked about that. 52 passes, 509 yards passing for Elijah Sindler, 5 touchdown passes. Kyle, he's number one in America in passing yards and touchdown passes. So no shock there, right? Ronnie Moore leads America in catches and receiving yards. So they've got plenty of weapons on offense. But, of course, the big question that continues to hang over this offense, can they ever develop a consistent ground game?
Yeah, we'll get to that here in just a moment. One thing that I thought was positive, though, from Saturday, and what we did not see in the opener, that might be a sign of a little bit of growth out of a young team, is it did not fold when a couple of bad things happened. And a couple of bad things did happen to Purdue. Gave up the 75-yard touchdown right at the moment where it felt like maybe the game was over. Gives up the touchdown, then nearly disaster with a safety on a really bizarre play by Elijah Sindelar, lining up in the wrong spot. Really one of the few times that he did not play, you know, maybe two snaps that he did not play well on Saturday, which is a pretty high percentage of playing well. But Purdue stuck with it in those two instances, and then afterwards made some plays that helped it extend the lead again. I thought that was impressive, maybe as much as, you know, just the general idea of staying aggressive, that it was able to overcome a couple of things that went against it.
Yeah, exactly right. You always like to see how you're going to respond when adversity punches you square in the nose, right? There's always going to be those points in every game where things go sideways on you. How are you going to respond to that adversity? And like you said, Kyle, Purdue responded in a positive manner, and that played a big role in them being able to finish out a pretty salty Vanderbilt team. And, you know, I think another key for Purdue, especially defensively, Kyle, was the fact they played more people, they rotated bodies more frequently. That was something Jeff Brohm, looking back at the Nevada game, says he regretted. They should have probably played some more guys on defense, especially early on. The first half alone, there were 8 defensive linemen that played. So they were keeping fresh guys on that defense, especially up front. And I think that paid off. You know, they were able to clamp down on that vaunted Vanderbilt rushing attack, really bottled up their star running back, Keyshawn Vaughn, and tried to make Riley Neal beat him. Kyle, Riley threw for some yards, made some plays, but by and large, Purdue's plan worked. Riley Neal could not deliver a victory with his right arm.
Let's talk a little bit about Purdue's running game. That was the one area that was missing, perhaps will be missing all year. I think Purdue's on pace for, I don't know, less than 800 yards rushing. It hasn't been very good through the first couple of games, 31 total yards on Saturday. If you look at the running backs alone, I think the numbers are something like 24 yards on 13 carries. And if you take away their 2 long runs, which I know is a little bit unfair to do, take away the best runs. But if you take away 2 of those runs, they're averaging basically less than a yard per carry in all the other ones. So it's been tough sledding, as they would say. Is there anything Purdue can do to get its running game running a little bit more now going forward?
I don't know. I guess I have my doubts. We're 2 games in at this point. It's not going to get any easier against Texas Christian, a defense or a program known for its defense. I think maybe it is what it is. Purdue's probably going to have to throw the ball 50 times a game if it wants a chance to win. This has to hope that that passing game sets up the ground game, maybe creates some openings for the running backs. So right now, I guess I have my doubts. And, you know, don't forget, too, during Saturday's game, fifth-year senior starting right guard Matt McCann left with, I guess, an apparent ankle injury. Mark Stickford came in, then DJ Washington came in. What is McCann's status? So maybe they'll be down a man this week as well. So stay tuned, Kyle. I don't think this offensive line with this rushing game overall is going to suddenly morph into Iowa or Wisconsin. But I really think if Purdue wants to get where it wants to end up at the end of 2019, it's going to have to do a better job of trying to cobble together some type of a rushing attack.
Yeah, did leave the game with a couple of injuries. You mentioned the one to Matt McCann. The other one is to the quarterback, Elijah Sindelar. Came into the medical tent in the last 4 minutes there, did not leave that tent until right after the final horn sounded. Looked like he was fine, but then afterward, I know he wasn't made available to the media, which is not uncommon for a guy that's, you know, had an injury there in the last couple of minutes. And then Jeff Brohm also saying he got dinged and nicked there at the end of the game. Any idea what the injury is there? I know you'll probably find out more this morning in Jeff Brohm's regular Monday press conference. Any idea what you'll find out?
No idea. Really, I'm just rewatching the game, slowing it down, watching the hit that Sindelar sustained on what was the last offensive snap of the game for Purdue. He got hit in the head, Kyle. So who knows, maybe it's a head issue. Some people think, you know, was it a hand or an arm? Just pure speculation. I know we probably shouldn't get into speculating on injuries, but those look like maybe the two areas that Sindelar may have gotten dinged or slash nicked up. Like you said, we'll hopefully find out more this week, beginning today with Jeff Brohm's presser. Stay tuned, obviously. You know, we all know the importance of Sindelar. Should he not be available, boy, what a dynamic that would have on the offense, thrusting redshirt freshman Jack Clummer into a starting role.
Yeah. And that's one area where you'd like to have a running game, isn't it? Just to avoid running your quarterback on the last offensive snap of the game. I mean, it seems in general like a bad idea, but maybe is a little bit telling of where Purdue is with its running game, just not comfortable handing the ball to anybody else.
Yeah, you know, Sindelar carried several times at Nevada as well. So he probably should have slid there instead of absorbing contact. Easy to say in hindsight, but again, just an unfortunate situation for Sindelar and Purdue's offense. And again, here comes Texas Christian. TCU was off last week, Kyle. They've had 2 weeks to prep for this game for what that's worth. They opened against mighty Arkansas Pine Bluff. They beat Pine Bluff. Again, they were off this last weekend. So they've had extra time to prep for Purdue. And Gary Patterson, he's a sage coach, the second longest tenured coach in FBS behind only Kirk Ferentz. This is Patterson's 20th season in Fort Worth.
All right, so we're 8-plus minutes into the podcast here, Tom. We have barely mentioned Rondell Moore. I think that's a little bit telling about Moore. I mean, he has 13 catches, 220 yards, touchdown. And here we are, we just sort of consider it the fact of having Moore on your team, right? I mean, it just is the way it is. He's really good, and then he's really good, and all of a sudden the numbers, you look at them, and they've piled up into some astronomical set of statistics that you don't see every Saturday. But it's worth mentioning again that this guy can play and what a difference maker he is out there on the field for Purdue.
Unstoppable, really. I mean, the second half in particular, Kyle, when that game was still in the balance, and you mentioned earlier there could have been a couple of tipping points where momentum tilted toward Vandy, but again, Moore delivered time and again in the second half. Remember, he had a long punt return callback by a penalty, so that would have been added to his resume. But just huge plays, and, you know, reflecting back to Nevada, you know, in the second half of that game, Kyle, he only had, I think, 3 catches for 10 yards. Compared to the production he had in the second half on Saturday against Vanderbilt, off the charts. So big players step up at big times, and that's exactly what Rondale Moore did on Saturday. It's going to have to continue to do, you know, the speed, the quickness, the elusiveness. But the thing that a lot of times he doesn't get credit for, Kyle, is his incredible strength and toughness too.
Yeah. No doubt about it. There's a lot of good things you could say about Rondale Moore. Hey, Tom, we'll look for your reports after the press conference today. Find out a little bit more about the injury situation for the Boilermakers as they head to TCU on Saturday. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian Newbert, his perspective on the Boilermaker victory. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio. If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Kyle Charters here with Brian Newbert talking a little bit about Purdue's victory against Vanderbilt on Saturday as the Boilermakers get set to host TCU this coming Saturday. All right, Brian, for a young team, you like to see a lot of growth between weeks one and two. I think we saw at least a little of that between weeks one and two for the Boilermakers. Did you see enough of it to make you feel like Purdue is headed back again a little bit more in the right direction after the disappointment of the week one loss?
Yeah, I don't know if they were – I mean, I don't know if there was any one area where I thought Purdue was discernibly better than it was the week before. I just thought they played at home and they just – you know, they didn't turn the ball over. And had they not turned the ball over in week one, they would have won by three touchdowns. And, you know, it's just as simple as that. I don't know if that's necessarily any sort of sign of improvement or just the way the ball bounced or what. But Purdue, when it doesn't turn the ball over, is a very different team, obviously. And I think that was the single biggest difference between the first game and the second game.
We saw Nick Holtz on the field on Saturday. That was a little bit of a surprise for many of us who thought that Jeff Brohm was going to stick with it there and keep the defensive coordinator up in the press box to be able to get a little bit better view of what was going on. Were you surprised to see Holt back down on the field? And why do you think it is that Brohm went ahead and made that change back?
Well, I take him at his word that he thought there was some value in the kind of range of vision that being upstairs affords. You know, Purdue wasn't very good against the pass last year. And, you know, I think that's probably their biggest priority from a defensive perspective. So that did stand to reason. I was surprised to see him on the sideline because I just thought that you wouldn't make a fundamental change like that and then, you know, reverse it after 1 week. So, yeah. I was surprised to see him on the field, but I don't know how big of a deal this is. You know, I think it's something that kind of was something everybody was talking about after week one. But, you know, at the end of the day, he was back down on the field. They still gave up 420 yards passing, still gave up a bunch of big plays, struggled on third and long in the first half, and obviously was not a perfect performance by the defense either. So it's not like they went from a performance in week one that, you know, obviously wasn't good enough to win to transforming. in the span of
right.
of a week because the coordinator was down on the sideline or not. But yes, I was surprised.
Yeah. All right, so Purdue's running game went basically nowhere on Saturday. I mean, if you've watched Purdue long enough, you know that at times the running game can struggle. We saw it at times against the better defenses in the Big Ten during the Joe Tiller era. I guess my question is, can Purdue be what it wants to be if it just doesn't get anything on the ground? I mean, is this a sustainable formula to consistently win in the Big Ten?
Well, what it wants to be is a team that's going to throw first and run second. It's going to pass to set up the run. It's a matter of, and even when you look back at a lot of the productivity DJ Knox and Markell Jones posted under this coaching staff the last couple of years, a lot of that was simply Purdue playing off its passing game and generating angles, getting defenses off balance, spreading them out, and scheming running success. Whether Purdue can get to that place with this team, obviously it hasn't happened yet necessarily. It's also not what it's trying to be. Purdue is not going to try to be that, you know, hand the ball off on first and second down and go from there type of team. It's not built that way. It's not philosophically crafted that way. Situationally, imbalance can create some problems. I think that's already manifested itself in the second half against Nevada, where you would like to not have to have your quarterback running draws in the second half just to be able to control the ball. You would like to not have to throw the ball on first down in a situation where a drop kills you. And that obviously was the case in Reno. But I just don't think that by and large Purdue is ever going to be that team this season that hangs its hat on the running game, nor do I think it wants to be necessarily from a philosophical perspective as a program. You would like to be able to not have to throw the ball on third and one and third and two all the time, but I just don't know, with the offensive line being what it is, Purdue is going to have to get to a place where its passing game is so effective that it can just kind of run the ball by element of surprise. I just think that's this team's reality.
Yeah. All right, so Purdue gets the victory against Vanderbilt. It moves to 1-1 on the season. Solid program, and TCU coming primetime, 7:30 kickoff under the lights at Ross-Ade Stadium. This game has a feel a little bit like a turning point game, right? I mean, you know, Purdue's 1-1. Being above 500 feels a lot different than being under it as you head into the bye week and then into conference play. I guess how do you sort of encapsulate this week going into this game against, you know, a quality opponent that you have in a primetime game?
Well, I mean, I would agree with a lot of what you just said. Obviously, you'd rather be 2-1 than 1-2 going into the Big Ten play. Purdue doesn't really have any easy games on this whole schedule. And you go back to the season opener, if that game's at home, you kind of qualify that as probably an easier game than not. It was on the road. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it went sideways for Purdue. You kind of lost one there in more ways than one. Got to make it up somewhere, probably, if you want to get the sort of outcome this season you want. Purdue's put together a schedule here that's really going to challenge it and probably really make it better down the line. You'd like to win these games too, but you'd also like to keep improving here. We'll see what the quarterback situation is. Obviously. As you and Tom just talked about in the first segment, Purdue might have something going on from an injury perspective at quarterback. If there's something there, that obviously you have to recalibrate your expectations because nobody would know quite what to expect. What's going on with Matt McCann?
Right.
You know, there's a couple of things here that really can affect the way you look at Purdue going in this game. But if Purdue's full strength, I still think Purdue's a good football team. I think they validated themselves on Saturday against Vanderbilt as a good football team. If they're completely healthy, I would give them a pretty good chance to beat TCU on Saturday too. And that would be a big win, obviously, to come out of non-conference 2-1 with two Power 5 wins, I think would go a long way to taking the sting out of losing that first game at Nevada.
Right. All right, thanks, Brian.
No problem.
Look for more on the site at goldandblack.com. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
A big week as Purdue welcomes TCU in Saturday night, 7:30 under the lights at Ross-Ade Stadium. Plenty on the site, including updates on the injury situations to Elijah Sindelar and Matt McCann. Look for those early on Monday afternoon. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Of course, we'll have the pregame. That'll drop at 11 o'clock on Friday. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team, and Remax Ability Plus. Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. For Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.